I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's an ambitious intro here.
Oh, good.
It's going down. I'm yelling timber, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betway. What a win for Solskjaer, and Arsenal got away with it. It's Friday, 30th of April. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Ball.
And I'm Andy Brassel.
The bigger they are, the harder they fall, according to Pitbull.
Very good.
Can I go now? Because you've done the whole show in the intro.
Yeah, exactly.
Those biggity boys and diggity dogs are right here, everybody. It's Andy and Luke.
They said it couldn't be done, that intro. They said they doubted him.
What a throwback.
Yeah, amazing.
Oh, Andy. Wow, do you miss those halcyon days of whenever they were?
Well, of course, a Manchester United 6-2 win does make me feel like line dancing.
What a lovely throwback that was. Yeah. To the time. Yes. It's not the first time Roma have capitulated at Old Trafford, of course.
No, it isn't. Was it 7 or 8-0 before?
7-1.
7-1. 7-1, that's right, yeah.
Alan Smith scored in that, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah.
Because I remember going to... Jim and I went to the Champions League final in Rome when they were beaten 2-0 quite handedly by Barcelona. More on them later. And a lot of the locals were saying that they wanted Barcelona to win. And I was quite surprised that they were quite unanimous. And they said, oh, but we remember the 7-1.
Yeah, okay.
I said, all right, well, you've got another scoreline to remember.
Bearing a grudge. It was a lovely throwback. And in many ways, and we've talked a lot on this show over the weeks and months about the Ole Gunnar Solskjaer tribute act. And it was a very, very touching tribute to Alex Ferguson last night. It looked a little bit shaky at the back, conceded the stupid goal, but came roaring back.
Yeah. Helped by a former ex-player.
Exactly.
An ex-player, rather.
Yeah, exactly.
A former ex-player would suggest he's returned, but no. Yes. Smalling was on the opposition.
In body, if not in spirit.
Indeed.
He didn't have the best night of his life.
He didn't.
But it's really unfair to have a go and dig him out, though, because he hadn't played for 6 weeks. Mm. They brought him back at the weekend. Mm-hmm. He looked really rusty.
It's a shame because he's had a good time there.
Yeah, he has.
He has done well.
Why does Andy always do this? We're just trying to have a laugh.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, he's been out by 5 weeks.
It's not going to go at the England team in a minute.
Yeah, I know. Well, not on my watch, Marcus.
No,
actually,
absolutely.
Thank you very much.
No, not on Lions' watch.
No.
I can do it on your watch, just not on Lions'
well
watch.
Well played, Tap.
That'll
well
be out
played.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, it was the first time a team have scored 6 in a major European semi-final since Real Madrid in 1964. I mean, bloody hell, it is quite something, that, Luke. 6 goals in a semi-final.
One question I really wanted to ask Andy, joking aside about him putting my jokes off course. One thing I wanted to ask Andy...
the hardest challenge of my career.
One thing that definitely happened in the... It's definitely happened over the years has been that you'll see a team who've otherwise been pretty good, and it'll be in a European game in the latter stages, and they'll go to Old Trafford or Anfield, and they'll not be able to perform. And I always thought it was, and I talked about this on the show at the time, I always thought it was because of the history of the places they're in, and it's a big deal going to Old Trafford. Everyone knows it. It's a big field going at, big deal going to Anfield. But there was no fans in the stadium last night, of course, and football's changed quite a lot since then. Do you still think that's a factor?
No, not really. And I think if you go back a couple of years, you look at the way that Sevilla performed at Old Trafford, for example, in the Champions League.
Yeah.
Teams
yeah,
can deal with it. Just Roma are not in great nick at the moment.
It depends, though, how you do it, because teams can go and go, flipping it, we're at Old Trafford, this is amazing, and lift themselves for it.
Exactly.
We saw Leeds United do this years and years ago. We talked about this on Teams of Our Lives on the Patreon. When they went to San Siro or the Bernabeu, they lost at the Bernabeu, but they still put in a good performance, and they would go to these big grounds, and they were inspired.
You're right. I remember, actually, you know, when Spurs were playing at Wembley, that, for example, really worked against them. I remember Bernardo Silva saying to me...
The knees went all trembly, didn't they?
Exactly. That when Monaco stayed there, they stayed in a hotel directly opposite Wembley, you know, one of those new sort of high-rise type buildings. And he said, I got up in the morning, opened the curtains, there's Wembley, and you're like, yes!
Yeah.
I just totally feel on it.
Was it the Holiday Inn? Is it the Holiday Inn around there?
Yeah, I bet he was staying in that. Yeah.
A lot of student accommodation around there now.
There is.
Yeah.
Well, they transformed the area.
Uh-huh. They have.
Yeah.
They have.
I don't know what point I was making.
But I
would like to say that I particularly enjoyed Bruno Fernandes attempting a no-look pass, which meant he scuffed it, which meant he bobbled through to Cavani, who then just rifled it on the volley anyway.
That was nice, wasn't it?
He is exactly... And Edinson Cavani, imagine being like a fairly good... I know Bruno Fernandes is a brilliant player, but imagine being like a fairly good attacking midfield player, but you've got Cavani in front of you.
Yeah.
He'll make every pass. He's like a brilliant pass because he's finishing so
good. But I think with that pass, though, I think a lot of strikers would think, right, I'm going to take my time over this finish. Mm-hmm. It's such a beautiful pass. I need to do it justice where Cavani's now. I know what I'm doing. I'm just going to smash this in.
You say that. He did annoy me, though, at the end of the first half when he was gifted that chance by the defender. Mm. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
You can the goalkeeper tightened the angle and he made the save. He should have then laid it off to, was it Pogba? And then perhaps it was Bruno Fernandes coming in. And he thought, oh, I've missed that. I'm trying to make amends.
Yeah.
That does anger me.
He won 6-2. They won 6-2. He got two goals and two assists.
Well, he made up for it. and I'm sure that he would have, he felt the wrath of myself and Paul Scholes.
I love the idea of you being the man. Yeah, he did. You being the manager going back into the dressing room after that 6-2. Everyone get in. Right, Edison, can everyone go out? I want a word with Edison.
a little peek behind the curtain, listeners. The best bit of all this unfolding last night was undoubtedly every time Cavani scored, Luke putting a voice note on the WhatsApp group of Paul Scholes saying, Cavani.
Cavani.
It's like his mouth is competing with his brain about whether they want to say his name or not.
Yes.
And Scholes has got a very dour voice anyway and a very broad kind of older accent.
Positive fella, though.
He gets dialed up to 100 whenever he says to Cavani, Cavani. I think it was a really great that's a Scottish
accent. I think it was really great.
Can you do it?
I'm Paul Scholes. I bloody love older me.
That Euro playoff would have turned out quite differently, wouldn't it?
God, imagine if Paul Scholes was Scottish, man.
Yeah.
250 caps, I'm saying it now.
He'd still be getting them. Although that's disrespectful to the current Klopp, who got them to the European Championships, of course, everybody.
Congratulations to them. Looking forward to playing them once again.
But Cavani, though, he's been a great player, and he did say recently, though, that he's probably going to be off at the end of the season.
And that annoys me. I'm sorry to cut in, but that annoys the shit out of me, because they should do everything they can to keep him.
Well, I think they are. But Solskjaer said he knows my feelings. I promised him Old Trafford is a different place with fans. I'm doing my best.
And that is quite sweet, but also he is absolutely right. And I think it would be a real shame for Manchester United fans.
Yes,
you know, ordinary fans who've been through quite a lot with the Glazers. I know they're a successful club, but with the Glazers, and particularly with this European Super League business, it will be a shame for them not to be able to see him in the flesh consistently. A player like Edinson Cavani, they've had great players to watch over the years. They've been very spoiled. I'm sure they'd admit that. But Cavani is proper footballing royalty.
Yeah. He is, but I think if he leaves at the end of the season, he's probably taking the right decision, because, I mean, I think after a game like last night, you look at the pushback on social media saying, why did Paris Saint-Germain ever let him go, especially after what happened to them this week? But think about it, just for 2 seconds, you know why they let him go from this season with Manchester United and from last season in Paris, because he can't stay fit anymore. Mm. And with a player like him, you're never going to get to a point where you say, all right, Edinson, if you could like maybe ease off 20%.
Yeah.
He does so much off the ball.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I think the accumulation of muscle injuries is probably logical.
Marcus, Andy is talking like a man who doesn't want to see Edison Cavani next season score two goals in all competitions and making seven appearances from the bench.
Yeah.
Mate, I've got the biscuit tin already from the Napoli era. I don't give a shit.
Sure, you've done your work.
Exactly.
Done.
Yeah. Although when I received it, it didn't have any biscuits in it.
I know what you did, Sheridan.
I know what you did.
I take both your points. I think that there's definitely room for him in the Man United squad for next season. And of course, a club like that, they're on for Champions League.
Yeah.
And you need a bigger squad for that kind of thing. And what a player to have, though.
And if he can play Roma every week, he'd be laughing.
Exactly.
Never stop scoring against them.
Flipping heck. I mean, yeah. My goodness.
But I thought that move, I forget which goal it was because there were so many, that move that Pogba, where he picked the ball on the half turn, went round some players and just, that was so good. Well, such a great pass.
Pogba's first goal at Old Trafford in 2 years.
Mad, right?
It is. He said, I try to tackle and be the English guy. I need to practice to tackle without arms now because obviously the penalty that was given.
Yeah. That was mad as well.
Yeah, I mean, both penalties.
By the way, has it gone under the radar how much Paul Scholes hates Fred as well?
Yeah.
He never stops moaning about Fred. Well, That's what he's in the team for. Don't give you anything going forward. That's what he's in the team for.
Yeah.
He's in a substantial...
Your pressure needs...
he's in a substantial crowd though, isn't he? So that probably covers it up a little
bit. What, you think a lot of people... A lot
of people aren't high on Fred, are they?
No.
Poor old Fred. But he's very willing. He's a very willing runner. Yes. And I think the fans, yes. I mean, if you talk to Manchester United fans, they're not that gone on Fred. But at least he runs around a lot, Andy. And according to Paul Pogba, that's what it is to be the English guy. Run around and try and tackle.
I wouldn't disagree with him.
I mean, we mentioned Paul Scholes. Did you see that Solskjaer had a little bit of a dig at Scholes and Owen Hargreaves post-match? He said it's easy up there thinking who should play and who should not play. Maybe those two leave players out themselves and pick a team with balance.
I mean, the balls on him to do that.
Well,
after the ride he gets from his former teammates.
I was surprised at that.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
I was a little bit surprised.
You know, when I read that, I thought it was just, they're actually all very firm friends and it was just a bit of fun. But you're absolutely right to point out that Solskjaer, in the difficult times at United, and we have to be clear, he's doing a good job recently and they're going to be in the final of the Europa League and, you know, good for them. And they'll finish in the top four this season. But he's had an amazingly easy ride when the things have been going badly.
Yeah. Like,
you couldn't move. Even, look, I'll put it this way. Even Roy Keane was defending him. And Roy Keane defends absolutely no one. Look, Roy Keane is no one's friend. Mm. And even he was defending Solskjaer.
See, if you really wanted the truth from Roy Keane on the matter, they should have put him on MUTV again.
Exactly, yeah.
And Roy Keane would stop defending him if Dennis Irwin threw his hat into the ring for the jump. Yeah, exactly. He's a Corkman.
Yeah, you know. Exactly, yeah. So therefore, he must be the best fullback to ever play the game.
Although Bruno Fernandes is eyeing up the Manchester United hot seat as well.
I heard that as well,
He said this week, if I can manage Manchester United, I will be happy. I mean, I know he's a leader on the pitch, Andy, and he's got high standards. Is that taking the piss?
Oh, he's got strong player manager vibes. Yeah. I can see that.
I can leave now just some words. So if people see this, if I'm a manager in the future, the fans could make some pressure to bring me as a coach. I mean, he's setting the groundwork.
Good for him.
I like it.
He's looking beyond the playing career, which of course is very short.
You would say so.
And he's been so good for them. Why not?
He really has. But they're in a magnificent position in the Europa League, of course. Hopefully Solskjaer.
Well, they're through.
Yeah.
Oh, historically, I mean, that's what Barcelona thought the other year.
Has that ever been done?
Well, four goals. Must have done.
It's been done. But,
Deportivo against Milan, of course, in the Champions League when they won 4-0.
I'm just waiting to see how far it's going to go for Marcus to go, well, away goals in the bank.
Yeah. Yeah, two away goals.
All they need is a 4-0 win. They got a 3-0. Was it 3-0 against Barcelona when they overturned
that? If you get to 0-0 at half time in the second leg, you take your chances. You're in the tie still.
Well, I think at least we'll get Peter Drury on comms for the return, just in case.
Now you're talking.
Yeah.
Oh, Drury was amazing last night.
Well, we'll get to that in a minute. Manchester United, they're playing Liverpool this weekend.
Yeah.
Lest we forget. It is a big one. Hopefully it won't be the drab 0-0 that we saw in the league in January. A bit more like the FA Cup game, of course, that they played out that far.
That 0-0 was fucking shit.
Yeah. But the FA Cup game was good, though. We appreciated that one, at least. I mean, with Manchester United, you know, second place, they're looking fairly comfortable with that, Andy, but they do have the second leg coming, of course, for that Europa League game. What do you think?
I think they're in the best possible position because, as you say, they're really well set for the second leg. And Liverpool need this a lot more than they do.
Yeah.
And United will absolutely revel in that, won't they?
Well, they'll be able to play massively on the break, won't they? Counter-attacking, which could playing into all his hands. Yeah, completely. Looking forward to that. Yeah, yes, Villarreal, they beat Arsenal 2-1. And I said at the top of the show that Arsenal got away with it. And this goes some way in appeasing me, Luke. You'll remember how angry I was about the semi-final against Atletico Madrid when they buggered that up. Under Wenger. Poor old Wenger. Wenger should have left with the Europa League trophy. And they disrespected him. They dishonoured him.
They did.
But this, when Arsenal, they're 2-0 down early on in the tie, and then when they go down to 10 men, you see Arteta's reaction. And he, I mean, to be honest, seldom does a manager react like that.
He looked like he was going to cry, didn't he?
He did. Head in the hands. Normally a manager keeps a little bit of cool. You can tell, of course, in the eyes and maybe a few gestures.
Although the advantage with him is when you run your hands through your hair doesn't actually move.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah,
his head's very shiny.
Yeah.
It's quite Duplo-esque, I think.
What do you think of it compared to the Unai Emery's on the opposite bench?
Similar.
Yeah.
Just a little bit shorter.
Emery's longer. I think Emery's is better.
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah. But, I mean, both are good. You know, there's room for both in the dugout. Not the same dugout, it would turn
clearly
out.
Clearly not. No.
But there we are. So, opposite dugouts. But with his reaction, it really told a story. And when they go down to 10 men, he's thinking to himself, this could really be tie over. And that would be such a great shame because they didn't impose themselves on the game in the first half. And it was a sort of an unnecessary sending off. It wasn't like he was...
Arteta's got to take a shot. We cannot give Arteta a pass for his management last
but
night.
But just to finish the point is that the fact is when they're 2-0 down to 10 men...
Playing terribly
them,
as well.
Playing terribly. You offer them 2-1, both your hands
for
off.
Sure. Totally. So what's happened is here is that, you know, you've disrupted a burglar in your house after you've left all the doors open, and so he's not nicked quite as much stuff.
He didn't take the laptop or the car.
Yeah, you don't get credit for that. Mm. You should have locked your fucking door. That's the point.
Well.
There's a load of mistakes Arteta made. Yeah. Let's get it absolutely right. Ceballos was a walking red card. He should have come off at half time. Mm. His head wasn't in the game.
Yeah.
And he didn't take him off. He should have done. He's picked a ridiculous team. Let's be clear. He's picked Smith Rowe as a false nine with Aubameyang on the bench.
He's done a Guardiola, hasn't he?
Yeah.
And he picked one of his most effective players in a position that made him ineffective.
He's done a Guardiola. He's got to a big game. Guardiola was normally a quarter final. Well, sometimes semi final. And Arteta's done that.
And he's also, it's part of the reason he's done that, is because he's not capable of managing Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, who's a difficult character. Now, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang needs to take his fair share of blame for that because of that reason. But Arteta's job is to manage. Mm. And the only answer he seems to have for Aubameyang at the moment is not picking him for really important games.
I mean, it's turning into an Ozil situation, isn't it?
Feels like it.
Which is ludicrous.
Yeah.
And it's something that Arsenal, not just as a team, but as an institution, can ill afford, really.
Yeah, well, he's the only one who had a real proper chance. It was right at the end.
Exactly.
I wouldn't have too much of a go, and he slightly slipped when he hit the shot. But the point is, they just did not create.
He's also picked a back four, which I'm just not even going to give an opinion on. I'm just going to list them. Callum Chambers.
Dixon.
He's picked a back four.
That's my default with Arsenal as well.
He's picked a back four of Chambers, Holding, Mari and Xhaka. Mm. And he's expecting to have a good result away from home in a semi-final of a European game.
I mean, they have
against a team with mobile players.
I mean, they do have a couple of injuries back there, but I take the point. I mean, even Arteta himself, though, when we play properly, we can beat anyone. You're the manager. Mm. Make them play properly.
I just think he gets... Fair enough, he's new in. He's newish as a manager. He's really highly rated as a coach. He's worked under Guardiola, etc., etc. Fine. He's making really strange decisions. Mm. And I don't think we should not say that. I mean, just because he's Arteta and he played for Arsenal when he's Spanish and he's glamorous and whatever. Mm. And he seems like a lovely chap and he seems like he does genuinely care. And I'm sure he's trying his very, very best. But he's making mad decisions.
He's got away with that, let's be
massively.
Honest. The penalty decision... What did you reckon?
I thought they glossed over it on the commentary. I thought it was a lot tighter a call than they said.
But Peter Drury is a very positive
wasn't,
man.
It wasn't tight. He totally bought it. Mm. He totally bought it.
He left his leg in.
Trigueros, he didn't actually make a challenge.
Yeah.
Like, Xhaka leans his foot into him. And if that happens the other way round, people are going apeshit about it.
Peter Drury's highlight was when Capu was about to get his second yellow and he was injured, right? So it took ages. And Peter Drury...
There is nothing better than seeing a player get sent off on a stretcher.
Yeah, definitely.
I remember that happened.
Hang on, let me just say this.
Go on.
Right, so basically, he's lying around the floor rolling around injured. The referee's got a yellow card in his hand because, of course, he's going to give him the second yellow. And there was obviously really nothing to say because Capu was just taking ages and they were filling. And then Drury just went... That card is about to change colour. I was like, is that what you think happens? It's a different card, Peter.
Yeah, it's not Paul Daniels, referee.
it would be possible with modern technology.
They should do that.
I would love to see that. I think that would increase the suspense, particularly if we got rid of VAR. You know, if the ref has both cards in the same pocket, then pulls it out, and there's some sort of, you know, it's a global hypercolor type situation.
That'd be great.
Whereas it gradually goes to red.
Ooh. If the referee's angry, like the firmer the grip, maybe the heat coming off his hand. That's to me.
The best ever. I do like a red card on the stretcher, but to me the best ever red card is the I know what I've done. I'm not even looking back. I'm
the no look.
Off.
Yeah,
I'm walking straight off, and the red card's given behind my back, as I don't even look back. I know I'm off.
I tell you something though. When you say Peter Drury should do the second leg for Manchester United, he's done the first leg for Arsenal. Don't deprive Arsenal fans of Drury.
No, exactly.
Yeah, but his place is in Rome on a big European night.
Yeah, that's fair.
Where
fair
it rises way. From its ruins.
Yeah,
true.
I once had an interview with Peter Drury, one of the most positive, enthusiastic, lovely, infectious men that you could ever wish to be around. Marvellous.
And I also think with commentary, it's in all the football media job, I think, you know, if you're in our position, you could probably train yourself. You work really hard to do most stuff, like presenting, punditing, whatever.
Oh, his energy and his
commentary
enthusiasm.
Is a different world.
But also, who he is as a person comes out in his commentary.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right with Peter Drury. I have to
is
say,
he up there with Dempo for you, Andy?
At this point, yeah, I think so. I think so. I have to say,
was it Karen Carney on Coco?
Yeah,
good duo.
I mean, she's excellent, Karen Carney. But I have to say, there's always a lot of discussion in commentary circles over whether pre-prepared lines are okay.
Yes.
I thought Darren Fletcher pulled off a really good one after the Manchester City game on Wednesday night, where he said some might say it's been a biblical night in the City of Lights.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not having that.
What's wrong with it?
It's too affected.
Yeah, I find
it's too
Fletcher...
affected, isn't it?
See, I know the likes of Barry Davis don't like the sort of pre-thought lines, and that's why I liked about Barry Davis. Yeah. You know, he would just let it sort
I'm not having Fletcher. It's as simple as that, Brassel. Let's move on.
Yeah.
Come on. He's done Oasis. He's done Gallagher solo. And he's put in a cultural reference about France.
Andy, not even I'm having that.
Yeah.
You bloody heathen.
he's fit a lot into a small space, but it's too affected for me. And I can't hear anything that Darren Fletcher says without having Macca in the background.
It's all about delivery.
Isn't it Fletch? Isn't it Fletch?
I don't mind Macca. It's Fletcher.
Yeah.
If he was an ice cream, etc.
You love Dempo, though.
I do love Dempo.
He loves Paul Dempsey, Andy. Andy.
I've worked with him a lot, so I'm biased.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah,
fair
I prefer Clint Dempsey.
Deuce.
But then I'm into the rap, and I.
Yeah. Does anyone ever sound like they're less into rap than that?
Where were we?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, Arsenal. They're playing Newcastle.
Yeah.
On the weekend. What a change of scenery. Back into the Premier League. I tell you what, though, Steve Bruce's side having a lovely old time in April. They drew against Spurs and Liverpool, defeated Burnley and West Ham, and 9 points clear of Fulham. I mean, they're safe, really, aren't they?
Yeah, and the improvement since the 3-0 thrashing of Brighton has been absolutely extraordinary. But this is where Arsenal will be paying for their crimes on the Costa Azahar, because if you go to Villarreal, win comfortably, and have a few drinks by the quayside in a match that doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
But instead, they've got to fret about the second leg.
True.
Only got themselves to blame.
They do. Well, I mean, at least they can fret about the second leg, because it could have been dead and buried.
No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
So the fretting is perhaps desirable in that situation.
I wanted to ask you guys, actually, what you think on this, because, of course, Joe Willock, who's had such an impact, especially over those last couple of games for Newcastle, can't play.
Yeah.
It's what they call in
the
Spain...
The Lua Lua rule.
The shit-yourself clause is what they call it in Spain.
Nice.
I would like it to be removed. I would like, for example, I know it's not applicable and it's not allowed in this particular game, but I would like, going forward, players to be allowed to play against their parent club.
I agree with you.
Yeah?
I think if you sign a player on loan, you know, I understand it from the parent club.
If you think he's not good enough for you for the season, just wear it.
Yeah.
It never used to happen.
Well, it was Lua Lua, remember, for Portsmouth against Newcastle United. That was
I remember that
years ago.
David Nielsen scored against Wimbledon for Norwich when we loaned him out there.
Who could forget that one, Marcus?
I didn't.
No, me either. Uh-huh.
Burned on my brain.
I do understand your point. I think when you start sending players out on loan because they're not going to feature for you, and bear in mind, like, Willock's played and scored on more than one occasion for Arsenal in the Europa League this season.
Yeah.
So he has featured.
Yeah.
If you start putting different clauses in, I think it does kind of make a mockery of it to a certain extent.
Let them play.
Who's going to arrive late into the box without Joe Willock?
Well, I don't know.
Shelves?
Slightly not John. Well, it depends how late you want, doesn't it, Andy? Depends how late you want.
Electric scooters are available.
Yeah. Well, speaking of loans, Danny Ceballos has ruled out a permanent move to the Premier League, saying that he likes La Liga a lot more.
Yeah. That's insult to injury after last night, isn't
it? I was going
to
say, yeah.
Yeah. Did he say that after
the classic,
last night?
The classic dumping me before, dumping you before you can dump me.
Just leave him in Spain. Yeah. Leave him there, Andy. Leave him there. Talking of foreign football, Andy, what have you been getting up to on Ramble Meets of late?
Well, I was lucky enough to have a big chat with Jesse Marsh, who this week, of course, left Salzburg, or announced that he was leaving Salzburg, to become the new coach of RB Leipzig, where he was assistant before to Ralf Rangnick, having worked under Rangnick and the great Gerard Houllier at New York. So we talked about that. We talked about him coming up through the college system and how American coaches have had to fight a certain prejudice in the European game. It's such an interesting talkie. You can look it up anyway on Football Ramble Presents.
Love that, Andy. Love that. All right, it's time for a break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
This week at Sukarnov.
On the latest episode of Between the Lines with Melissa Reddy, Melissa speaks to footballer Lee Nicol, who in 2019 was hacked and had intimate footage leaked online. Lee opens up about the impact it had on her and how she came back from it.
The first mental impact, it was sheer shock. It was panic attacks. It was shame. It was guilt. I think I felt every single sense of emotion. It felt a little bit like grief, as if I had lost someone, but I hadn't lost someone. The only person I think I'd lost was myself.
Meanwhile, on the latest On the Continent on Football Ramble Presents, Dotton, Andy and Miguel Delaney unpack everything surrounding the Super League and how it has changed football forever.
When you watch a Champions League game, when you watch, say, Manchester United in Champions League, Real Madrid in Champions League, it's not just a match. It's that every single minute of the match is imbued with 7 decades of history. The Super League, which has none of that. I was getting quite sad for that we were going to lose this and have to face this monstrosity.
All that and a whole lot more at Sukarnov.
Hey, Luke, what's up? My friend Kate has invited us to watch the final this week.
Lovely, lovely. We look forward to the final this week, whichever final that is. Welcome back to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betway.
Why does Leo Messi sound like Patrick Kluivert in that clip?
Yeah, it's kind of weird because the AI Lionel Messi, which we've just heard there, doesn't, if you're really honest with yourself, when you watch the video, it neither looks that much like him nor sounds like him, even though I presume he did the voice. But he can't have done the voice because he can't speak English, right?
No.
So there we go.
I reckon he'd speak a few words, surely.
Not as good. No, he wouldn't be inviting me and Kate to watch a final together, though.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't think that's come up.
No. He's not that liberal with his friendships, is he?
No, absolutely not. They're all very strange, anyway.
Indeed. Right, everybody, it's time for emails. And this one, this email jingle, is by James Stewart. Come on!
So good.
Yes!
Jimmy Stewart.
Love it.
As well.
We've got one here from Dan McConnell, in Cairns, Australia. After yesterday's chat about alligators and the frankly terrible advice given out by Andy to run in zigzags away from
home. I've heard that before, right?
I felt the need to write in to clarify how you should actually approach the situation. If you ever get chased by a croc or gator, my advice is simple. Fucking run. As fast as you can and in a straight line, by zigzagging, you're not doing anything except slowing yourself down and giving the croc time to catch up. Crocodilians are not known for their land speed and will give up chase fairly easily.
I thought they were quite quick on land.
Well, I looked into this, and I'm far better for me to disagree with an Australian, a native Australian. But they are quite fast, crocodiles, but for not that long. So a crocodile can apparently run around 20 miles an hour.
Which
is fast.
Like, what is nature doing?
Yes, yeah,
like, it shouldn't be. It's they should excel in the water, which they probably do. Yeah. And you think, I'll get you on. Blimey.
Nah.
It's so ridiculous.
Can't they
climb trees as well?
So I don't think so.
They're only fast over the first couple of yards. They're basically the Brazilian Ronaldo.
They're Mick Quinn.
Yeah.
Mickey Quinn.
Mickey Quinn.
So fastest player in the world over a yard.
essentially, Dan's advice is good if you're Roger Black or Mo Farah.
Well, I looked up how fast humans can run. And so Usain Bolt's got the record as you'd expect for the top speed.
Yes.
And that's like 28 miles an hour.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're going to have to be be much more of a Marcus than a Luke to get away from a crocodile.
Yeah, I think I've been caught these days.
I also read a story while I was doing the research of a crocodile in Australia that sat at the bottom of a tree for 3 days waiting for someone who was stuck up the tree.
Awful business.
Trying to keep away from them. So, I mean, I think Dan's at least partly right. Just get the hell out of there.
Well, to any country that has crocodiles.
Yeah, well, I mean, and also, the other thing is,
I'm not going there.
Well, America's got alligators, which is what we were talking about yesterday. Is do you have the same policy on alligators?
You know what, I say this, I've been very close to caimans.
Okay.
They're much smaller, though.
Yeah.
They wouldn't take your arm off, maybe your finger.
Is that a deal? You'll do a deal with them, will you?
Yeah.
You'll compromise with them on the finger. Finger?
Oh, I wouldn't want to choose. I'd let them decide. I've never been to Australia. Here it's wonderful, though. Yeah. So sorry about that, everybody.
The problem is everything you touch there will kill you.
Yeah. Even the people.
No, not the people.
With their razor sharp wit.
Yeah.
The other thing we have to say before we leave that, we did have a communication from Patrick Loftus. Thanks for getting in touch, Patrick, on Twitter, with a little video of how they dealt with a gator that got into his sister's pool.
Go on.
Wow.
And apparently the guy from the, gator herding company or whatever it is.
What do they do?
He got in the pool in his trunks. He looked like he's just on his way to a day on the beach.
Right.
He's wearing shades and a cap and some trunks. He just gets in the pool and in the video that Patrick sends us, he's like holding the gator like it's a large baby.
Yeah.
And it's got like some elastic around its mouth to stop it chomping. And he's giving him a nice little cuddle. But apparently, Patrick said he got in the pool and like played with him and tied him out for an hour first. And then took him out.
Wow. That's it. Tire them out.
Yeah.
And then run away.
Yeah.
Genius.
Get Monopoly out.
Dobble.
I love it. In this country, we're scared of wasps.
Yeah. You can keep a crocodile's mouth closed just with an elastic band because all the muscles are for clamping down, not opening up. So actually, you could probably hold an alligator's mouth closed just with your hand.
Yeah. I'll take your word for it.
Yeah. Don't hold me on that. Yeah.
Show at footballramble.com if you've ever beaten up a crocodile. Or an alligator, or even a caiman.
Or just being nice to one.
I feel, though, if you're beating up caimans, you're a bit of a flat track bully.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, definitely.
Oh, dearie me. And also, just to remind everybody that we will be joining the social media blackout from Friday at 3 p.m. That's today, of course, to Monday at midnight, just in case you think we're being a bit slack on Twitter and so on. But that's what we're doing. We're getting involved in that. Gentlemen, to Spain. Lionel Messi, according to reports, has told Barcelona that he will be staying at the club and is willing to sign a new contract, even if that means taking a pay cut.
Well, tickle me surprised, Marcus.
Andy Brassel.
I'm
shocked.
If it
isn't as if a beautiful Dutchman has turned up, managed to save the situation, talk Messi round, and get Barcelona challenging again for the La Liga title, despite losing 2-1 at home to Granada last night. Yeah. You've got to hand it to Ronnie Kay, Andy, haven't you?
You buried
hand
that bad news under a massive pile of pancakes there.
Andy, do you think Marcus is the only person in media taking that angle today on that story?
Look, he may have got sent off from the touchline as well, but, you know, they're still in the title race. But, Andy, the big news is, though, that Messi's staying, and surely Koeman has played
when
a
you,
part
When
in
you
that.
Say Koeman's played a part, I would imagine, with his straight talking, no one else can afford you.
Yeah.
That would be it.
Maybe that's what he needs.
It's interesting,
he needs
actually,
to tell
because
him the bloody cold hard truth of the matter.
Exactly. His father and agent Jorge has been in Barcelona having discussions with the club and with Joan Laporta, of course, the new old president,
who's Messi's and, man, right?
So yeah,
they were pals back in.
He
the
wanted
day.
It to happen. Yeah. For him to.
But
to take over.
I think he's serious enough to make Messi think there will be a project. He doesn't really want to move his family and his life. He never has wanted to, really. He's just wanted something to believe in. Now, whether Barcelona win a title or not, I think you can at least sense that there's a direction. A lot of that direction, I would suggest, has rather fallen into Koeman's lap because, of course, some of these young players who have done very well for him, he didn't have any faith in at the start of the season. He made it pretty clear that he didn't have any faith in.
You've got to earn
it
with Koeman.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's it. That's
a demanding fella.
Yeah. And
can you kick the ball as hard as me? No. Then get out the team.
It's interesting that a lot of reports in Spain are also suggesting that there's obviously a directorship somewhere down the line. Because, but basically, because they can't pay him everything now, the contract's got to be a bit longer and backloaded. And what it might work out as is him going out to, wait for it, lads.
Here we go.
Miami.
Now you're talking.
Yeah.
Now you are talking.
Because he wants to get
Fizzer.
Out there.
Come on.
He wants to get out there at some point as some sort of ambassador for Barcelona in the United States.
Yeah, the Times are reporting today that it could be up to a 10-year deal, which is reminiscent probably of the Totti at Roma deal that he was given to go.
I like the way you went for Totti at Roma rather than Pardew at Newcastle.
I was thinking Pardew.
That was only eight.
It's still, though.
It's only it's a short-term one.
Yeah, you say that, I heard it was 8+2.
Is that right?
Yeah.
The golden rule.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what though, Andy, Barcelona losing, I mean, a bit of a surprise, they would have gone top.
Conceding a winner to a 39-year-old striker in Jorge Molina.
Well,
it's magnificent.
It is magnificent.
It was funny. We saw the. I was watching it, and I saw the post-match interviews when Molina came on the side of the pitch. And you know, sometimes you need someone outside the football bubble to make stuff a little bit more clear. Mm-hmm. And my wife came in and said, "How old's that guy? Is he a player?"
Well, that was when what's his name scored the winner for Villarreal. Was it Albiol?
Yes.
Yeah.
Peter Drury said, "The grand old man." Which is great.
Great stuff.
But I tell you what, Andy, you know as well as I do that people are talking about Atletico Madrid going to mess it up. They're losing a bit of momentum. Barcelona, they messed it up last night. Real Madrid, they've got the eye on the Champions League. Sevilla, baby. Sevilla have only won it once in their history.
When
was it? 1946.
Bloody hell,
and
that's amazing.
You know, there were other things going on around that time, of course.
Yeah.
I tell you what, Andy, I'll tell you something. I said this to you a number of weeks ago. I said, I think they might squeeze in. I think they might do it.
There's too much traffic, despite the points gap. I think their best chance is of being kingmakers. They've got a chance simply because...
They're 3 points off the top and you're calling them kingmakers?
Because they've got to go to Real Madrid.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
I think
that makes the difference. But
it's in their hands.
They've still got to get past. It's not in their hands. They've still got to get past both Atletico and Barcelona. They could. It's interesting. It's interesting. I mean, Barcelona could end up doing Real Madrid a favour because if Barcelona in the Barcelona Atletico game that remains take points off Atletico, Real Madrid winning out would win them the title.
Severe for me, everybody. Yeah.
And I've said it before, and I've said it before, and I've said it again now. He's got his own show about European football.
There we are, ladies and gentlemen.
You'll never stop me. You'll never stop me.
It's impossible to stop him.
All right, everybody. Quickly then, back to the Premier League. Quick mention for Everton versus Aston Villa. I just thought it was interesting that Sven gave his blessing for Ancelotti this week.
Oh, fuck. I'm stuck in such a fever dream.
If he's talking about European football, I'm talking about Sven.
Yeah, that's what happened, see? The floodgates open.
He is a top-class man and a top-class manager. If I was the owner of a club, I would hire Ancelotti because he brings stability.
Marcus, yep. is this like a media sourced quote, or is this simply pillow talk?
Yeah, he just called him up.
When is it not pillow talk? With Sven, I would say.
So Everton, Marcus, is that constitute
Everton Villa? We're looking forward to it.
Is that constitute your preview of Everton Villa? Does it? Great. What's next? Brilliant.
Chelsea v Fulham.
Yeah, why not?
Is it a big? It's the West London derby. Yeah. I mean, Fulham, if they're not already, I mean, they need to win. There's no two ways about that. But we've been saying that for weeks with poor old Fulham.
It is very, very, very difficult for them.
I mean, when we're talking about Newcastle's improvement, I think Fulham have had at least a little hand in it, haven't they?
Mm.
The improvement of their position,
and
certainly.
It's the drop points. You know, even I know a point at home to Wolves is that they needed more, but it's things like when Wolves score the last minute, you don't even get the point. And results like
the Villa game was a big one, wasn't it?
As well. I mean, to be honest with you, I would go back actually to when Fulham had a little bit of momentum, when they beat Everton away. You know, this is a number of games ago now, of course. And then they played Crystal Palace away and they drew 0-0. And they had really, I think it was Maja had a chance, which he'll be disappointed he never buried, a close range header. And I understand, you know, he scored two goals at Everton. You don't want to sort of pick out individual players and say, well, that's the reason. It's not the reason. It's a collective thing. And Maja's only been there and he's done okay since he arrived. But they probably came away thinking, oh, I should have won that. And that would have been another win and just a bit more momentum, you know. But they've struggled so much to score goals. And they have sometimes, you know, they've had the odd decent chance here and there. And chances are very few and far between. They've got to be lethal. But there's a reason why they're down there. Because of these. Because of that.
Exactly.
And statistically, it's, you know, you have to go back quite a few years now, maybe 5 years, to find a season where 34, 35 points hasn't been enough to stay in the Premier League. And Brighton have already got 34.
Yeah, exactly.
And Newcastle have got 36.
Exactly.
So, unfortunately, it's going to be a Herculean effort if they are to get anywhere near coming out of relegation. They've lost four games in a row before that draw, and that's killed them. It's as simple as that.
Oh,
if they picked up just 4 or 5 points in that whole run, they'd be right in the conversation still. Yeah. Unfortunately, not now.
No, that's very, very true. Although, what was enjoyable was one of their former players, Damien Duff, taking quite a random swipe at Eden Hazard recently. He was obviously a Fulham-Chelsea man as well, but he said that Hazard has never been a pro and was fat when he arrived at Real Madrid. To be signed by Real Madrid for £160 million or euros, you turn up to pre-season in the shape of your life. He turned up overweight because he was on holiday. I ain't having that. I hate aiming it at a player, but it's always been aimed at him anyway. Damien, what are you okay?
Yes, yeah, it's a bit full on that. I mean, who's asked him that?
I don't know.
I mean, to be fair, I mean, look, I'm the last person to be chucking things out there for people being overweight. But there is an element of truth to that, wouldn't you say, Andy?
I would say that Damien Duff once almost ran me over outside Stamford Bridge.
There we go.
That's what I would say
to
that.
Not quite what Luke asked you, was it?
Was it not? No, not really. If I wanted to know the answer to that question, I probably would have said, has any player, inclusive of Damien Duff, ever tried to run you over outside Stamford Bridge?
You're making the case that it's not contextual. It is contextual.
Yeah, true. But I think there has been accusations of Hazard.
Look, I think it's clear that if Hazard was of a keep fit obsessive personality, he would be one of the probably top five elite players in the world. Mm. But he's not. He has his right to a family life and time off, and he's fine with that. Mm. I think he hasn't arrived at a particularly favourable moment in Real Madrid's history. I think in terms of the injuries, you know, part of it's fate, isn't it? You know, he was very, very durable for Chelsea on the whole.
Yeah.
He played through injuries, despite people talked about his weight and his attitude.
Well, I think he got the shit kicked out of behind him as well. His
back. Oh, he did, yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, it's just misfortune. And also, there's, as we talked about before, there's this disconnect between how Belgium feel his injury situation should be dealt with and how Real Madrid think it should be dealt with, which isn't particularly helpful.
Very true. Andy, I'd like to say this in your presence. Chelsea, they're still in the Champions League. They could reach the final. And you talked about that even when Frank Lampard was in charge. You said they could go far.
Yeah, I mean, really, they didn't need to fire him.
No.
Well, there we go.
There we are.
But I mean, I think Chelsea, that's the takeaway from that.
You would expect Chelsea to win this game, and obviously they're still going for top four. So, and that is all to play for. But they could qualify straight there by winning that old Champions League.
So if Brighton, it's not going to happen. So if Brighton and Newcastle both win and Fulham lose, they're still not going to be relegated technically this weekend, are they? But but the writing's on the wall already, as we've already discussed.
It is. All right, Luke, let's have a bit of Betway's Four to Score.
Let's do that. It is now time for Betway's Four to Score. Entry is absolutely free. Each week, pick the first goal scorer in Betway's Four selected matches for your chance to win the weekly £50,000 jackpot.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah, very much so. Good round of applause. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game, guys. Come on. Make sure your selection to submit before the first game, or that'll be mental otherwise. Mm. And further T's and C's apply. Now, game one is our brave brother from another mother, Mr. Marcus Speller, the fortune teller. he's got Newcastle v Arsenal on Sunday, Sunday 2 o'clock kickoff. I'm just going to preempt this, if you don't mind, Marcus, by saying I believe you've got a selection that's a little bit special for the listeners this week.
It's a very special one. It's difficult to think who's going to play. Newcastle have had a few injuries, and is Sam Maximum, is he going to start? You know, sort of bringing him back in drips and drabs. Arsenal in between big Europa League ties. But I want to get us off to a good start on the weekend. And I thought, how can I do that? And I think he's. It's been a while. I'm going for Jonjo Shelvey.
And what are we going to do on behalf of yourself and everyone in the studio and the production staff and the listeners?
I'm sorry.
To look inside yourself and honestly ask yourself if you think you're giving us the best chances.
I got a feeling.
All right, fine.
I've got a feeling, maybe.
Siri, show me over justification.
All right. So fingers crossed, Jonjo Shelvey should arrive late in the box at about 6 p.m. on Sunday. Game two, Man United v Liverpool. It's the big one. Here's hoping it's not a drab 0-0 again Sunday as well. Andy, who have you gone for?
Well, I suspect that they'll have a bit of light rotation, so I've gone for Mason Greenwood, who of course finished the Roma game so strongly.
Very nice indeed. Okay, game number three, Spurs v Sheffield United, and we asked our friend Kate for her selection.
It's a difficult game to call. I'm hoping Harry Kane doesn't play. Sorry. No disrespect to Sheffield United, but you are no longer a Premier League club. That might mean Gareth Bale starts. But is he going to score? We know Heung-min Son has not been very good, particularly in the cup final. Lucas Moura.
All right. Thank you very much for that, Kate. Game number four, Burnley v West Ham, is Monday night. It's down to me. If we're still in it by then, I'll give you the money myself. I've gone Burnley West Ham. I've gone for Jesse Lingard.
That's fair.
Yeah, absolutely right. So that's that. That's Betway's Four to Score. Do make sure you check that out. But you must be over the age of 18 and do gamble responsibly. For more information, head to begambleaware.org. Okay. It's now time for... Where's my button? This. It's one of those games that's quite difficult to explain, but you'll get it as soon as you start hearing it. Yes, indeed.
Hillary, and go.
Listen, what's in your belly right now?
You see, what you don't understand is I'm already the winner because every week, listeners, when me and Marcus play each other, he flexes the guns. It's magnificent.
Oh, dear.
It's all the steam coming off the fire in his belly.
You've got that. That's safe.
Yeah.
Is your head in the freezer, Marcus?
I hope so.
Yeah, I do too. It's a belter this week. The algorithm, the maths machine, has chucked up some absolute doozies this week. So strap yourselves in, fire in the belly, head in the freezer. If you're listening at home, play along, enjoy it, and by all means, pick up every tiny mistake I make on Monday, which you normally do.
Well, no, that's not true, because you don't normally make tiny mistakes, do you?
Oh, no. Look at that.
Right, Marcus, you're going first.
1-0.
Yeah. You're going first.
Red card, Koeman.
Brassel is the champion, the reigning champion. He's been the champion for quite a long time now.
Yes, he has.
I'm not sure if it's been the most weeks of the season, but I think it probably is near on there or thereabouts.
I'm like Lyon under Alain Perrin now.
When the belt was made, they fitted it to Andy's specification.
Yeah.
I thought that was a bit, cheeky, but fair play. It seems to be working out that
way. Here's hoping you're not Portsmouth under Alain Perrin. Right, Marcus, you go first because Andy's a reigning champion. He's played for seven clubs in total. He retired from professional football in 1999.
Ooh.
And that's not a clue to his accent's not a clue to his his name. It's Ian Rush.
Ian Rush.
A man who throughout his career looked a bit like Beaker from the Muppets.
Yeah.
Ian Rush, 7 clubs in total. Andy, I'm going to need you to put your iPad down, please.
Yeah, come on, come on.
I don't have a pen and paper.
I can't see what you're doing.
Yeah, but I never do this, right. Do I?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, okay, fine. Yeah. Fair, I'll keep an eye on it.
Would you?
I'll keep an eye on it, yeah, I promise you. He's not going to cheat, is he?
Oh, I don't know.
It's Russell. Look, if you guys want to do, you can use it for note-taking purposes, or you can turn your iPads over face down now. It's up to you.
No, no, I'm happy there.
Okay, fine. Turn it down. Turn it over.
What? No, okay.
Thank you. Marcus, bid.
This is very frustrating.
Because I get it in the neck, Brassel. Yeah, people will say, oh, I'm not consistent with my rules and all the rest of it.
This is very frustrating.
You've got to do it.
4.
Yeah, I haven't got more than 4. Go on.
Bollocks. Do you have 4?
Well, you'll have to find out, won't you?
Andy, you don't have to tell him. I don't have to tell you that.
No.
All right, tough guy. right then. Liverpool?
Woo! Hedge your bets there, mate.
Newcastle United.
That's 2.
Juventus?
He did play for Juventus. That's 3.
Now, I have... Oh, this is so annoying. This is so annoying.
You got 3. It's not bad.
I know, damn it all. I thought to myself, I'll push about and say 4, because I think you'll say 5. Who's the... Go on, Andy. Give us a clue.
You know, you almost had me there. I almost gave it to you.
That's desperation.
I really, this is poor. I've got no, I'm sorry, everybody.
Just have a guess.
Torino.
That's incorrect.
I don't know why I went. I had nothing.
That's all right.
My 4th was Chester.
Yeah, he started at Chester, who were a Football League club then. Liverpool, Juventus, Liverpool again, Leeds, Newcastle United,
Leeds.
Sheffield United, you could have had.
Yeah, I don't remember.
And
that.
You could have had Wrexham.
Rex.
I don't remember any of those other ones.
No. Well, there you go. It's 1-0 to Andy. He gets to go first this time.
Leeds was the one I should have got.
A poor start.
Yeah, poor start.
It's one of those two. If you'd gone 3,
yeah.
I think you might have been in.
Yeah, but I had
4 anyway. So.
Oh, you had 4.
Yeah, no,
four.
Do you know what I mean? I thought I'll have a
one
go.
One of those. It's one of those. All right, Andy, you're up now. You get to go first here. Player who he's played for 6 clubs in total. And he is Daniel Sturridge.
Studger.
6 clubs in total. Daniel Sturridge. I'll be surprised if you can do all 6. I'll be totally honest, but then you never know with Brassel.
Mm. Yeah, and I am quite shit at counting, which is the issue. So.
He's counting on his fingers because, and I mean, it's absolutely clear to you, Marcus, and to the listeners, he didn't bring a pen and paper in, and that's on him.
Yeah.
That's on him.
I've got 5, I think.
Is that your bid? 5, yeah?
Yeah, I'm going to bid 5.
I'll have all 6.
Yes!
You.
Woo! We're talking about.
Let me add a little bit of.
I've got to go for it, haven't I? This has backfired. This approach.
Chris
everybody.
Eubank is all over it. Come on, let's go.
All right, Liverpool.
That's correct.
Man City.
Started his career there.
Chelsea.
Also played for Chelsea.
West Brom.
Very good.
Bolton Wanderers.
Yes. Ooh, on loan. That's 5.
Trabzonspor.
Oh, come on.
I don't think you have the facilities for that, big man.
He has got the facilities. That's 6 out of 6. He's back in the game.
Oh, I needed that.
Yeah.
I let everybody down with Rush. I can't think who I'm thinking of. Who played for Torino of that ilk?
Joe Hart.
Yeah. Joe Hart. Yeah. Getting them confused again,
Hart.
Wasn't I?
Well, it's open
British heroes.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you two are going to start naming.
I was about to say that was poor of me. I shouldn't have done that.
If it comes up, it comes up. The next player, Marcus gets to go first. Also played for 6 clubs.
Mm-hmm.
It's Joe Hart. No, it's not.
Oh,
it's Frank de Boer. Frank de Boer. Now, this is tricky because the younger listeners out there may not realise Frank de Boer had a famous brother. Still
yes.
has. Also
yeah.
played.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Are you going to mix them up? Let's wait and see.
Let's
6 clubs, Frank de Boer.
Bloody Nora.
It's not easy, this one.
It isn't. 3.
Nice bid. That's a very nice bid. I think that's right in the slot. Brassel?
4.
Oh, confident 4 as well, that was.
Yeah.
Swinging on his chair.
I know, but I'm going to have to say, so, you know.
4, okay. Andy, you want to do 4? Yeah, that's your bid. You're not going to go 5.
No, I'm not going to go 5.
Okay, 1 at a time, please, Andy, to go 2-1 up. Your 4 clubs that Frank de Boer played for.
Ajax.
Started his career there.
Rangers.
Played for them.
Barcelona.
Absolutely.
That was my 3.
Galatasaray.
Yeah, very good. Very good.
I thought there was a... I had Fenerbahce in my head, but I wasn't sure on it just as well.
Well, you did me on the Turkish Super League the other week, didn't you?
So that's true.
Swings and roundabouts.
Yeah. Well, and Sturridge as well.
You did yourself. on the Chelsea.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's true.
The other two clubs he played for, Al Ryan and Al Shamal. I didn't expect you to
there
get
you
those.
Go.
Ronald de Boer played for some other teams. So there you go.
Uh-huh.
can't be honest with you. I just, you know what, I just thought to myself, I'm not going for a load of other teams that players who not even on the game
no,
have played for.
No, don't.
Overcomplication.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, Andy, you get to go first this time.
Big
on
chance
this one.
For Andy.
Oh, this is a chance to take it home.
Yeah, that's it.
To bring it all the way home.
See, I buggered up with the inrush.
You did.
I've got Rue. That's the thing with Andy. You put a foot wrong early and then you're stuffed.
You're up against it. Yeah. You are up against it. But the thing is, what our listeners love about you, Mark, is you'll know that you'll never beat him, right?
No.
So it's all good. you never beat him, mate. Andy, you ready? Four clubs in total for this player.
Just four.
I know, it's come up like that, I'm afraid. It's come up like that. It's the maths machine. I can never predict what's going to happen.
No.
So it's just one of those things. four clubs in total. Retired in 1999 as well, weirdly. John Barnes.
Four?
Yep, four clubs in total.
I'll take all four.
You're going to do all four?
You dick.
Can you do all four?
Of course I can.
Can you?
Yeah.
You being serious?
Yeah, I was trying to bluff him.
Oh. Lovely tactics.
Yeah.
Lovely tactics.
I thought to myself, if I bluff enough, he's going to go three and that'll let me in.
Fair enough.
Can I start with the best one first?
You can do whatever you want.
Newcastle United.
Yeah.
Watford.
That's two.
Liverpool.
That's three.
Go on,
Charlton Athletic.
Very confident about that,
yeah,
wasn't
show,
he?
Yeah.
Very confident.
Andy Brassel wins.
That's annoying.
Yeah.
I think what we can agree on is that you've been up against it there with the way the numbers have fallen, players have fallen, but you've also not helped yourself early on.
Ian Rush, like the thing is though, I had to go four, and I really could, but I should have guessed the Welsh side.
Yeah. Maybe.
That's where I went wrong, everybody.
Okay, your final player is David Unsworth. He's played for eight clubs in total. That's eight clubs, David Unsworth.
Ooh.
Which is a very difficult one.
Well, it is difficult.
Yeah, it is.
Unzi.
By the way, I should point out that John Barnes actually started his career at Sudbury Court, but they're not a professional team, so they didn't count.
No, they're not. I'll have three for Unsworth.
Andy?
I don't know, five.
Five.
Five? Let me do five.
Yeah, he'd get a 3-2 out of this.
Well, yeah, he could have done four there, but he went five.
I'm playing my house money. It's fine, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That is fair.
Go for it.
Everton.
Yeah.
West Ham.
Slow as you can, because I've got to scroll through them.
Aston Villa.
Oh, hang on.
He didn't play a match for them.
No, was he there for a day?
Yeah!
Oh, a consolation.
Marcus Speller.
Consolation.
You get to... take a 3-2 defeat. So that's Everton, West Ham, Portsmouth, Ipswich, Sheffield United, Wigan, Burnley, and Huddersfield Town. And that's your eight. You're not right on that one, Andy. Never mind. Still get the win, though.
Never mind, eh? Well, there we are, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry I couldn't beat the Brassel, but that's what happens. That is what happens when you're playing against a man like Andy Brassel. That is the end of the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betway. The big news, of course, is that the people have been asking for Pete Donaldson to get involved in a bit of Luke's game. Well, apparently next Friday that's going to happen.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's the first I've heard of it.
Well, I think I beat him, I think, 4-1 or 5-0. Fairly.
So
I think maybe this season.
My vague memory of him is getting to go first on one of them, guessing a Japanese club for no reason, getting it wrong, and then wrapping his hand in, which is basically right on brand for Donaldson.
Yeah. It's very true. But before that, though, myself and Luke will be back with another edition of Lions Watch first thing tomorrow morning, Saturday morning. We're chatting about the squad expansion for the Euros and looking back on those halcyon 67 days that England had under Big Sam Allardyce, transitioning then from that into the Gareth Southgate era. It promises to be an absolute classic.
Yeah, I don't know why we're doing it. I'm only joking. It's been great. And it is a really interesting time to look back over at Allardyce because it's such a weird anomaly. It's going to be lots of fun. Looking forward to that.
Absolutely. Yeah. There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening once again. Thank you to Luke Moore.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Andy Brassel.
Thank you.
Thank you, listeners. See you on Monday.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.